Now, we have the text which recounts the reason for this feast, the birth of John the Baptist. It's found in Luke in the infancy gospel section. That's why we're very grateful that Luke did all this work. Matthew's infancy gospel is inspired and equally valuable, but doesn't give us these songs, for instance. All the songs, the Magnificat, the Benedict, you know, the Our Lady song, My Soul Magnified, Zechariah's song, Simeon's song, they're all in Luke. He's the gospel of song, as he is the gospel of women. Women figure more prominently in his gospel than in the others. He has other things that we can't talk about right now, but he seems to always pair a man and a woman, even in healings, you know, but elsewhere as well, like Simeon and Anna at the presentation. There's always, he does that. Okay. So the text picks up. Luke tells us about Mary's visit, her Magnificat, and then, starting with verse 57 and going down to 66, we have the birth of John the Baptist and the results in the family. And then one more line from verse 80, because they skipped the whole hymn of Zechariah, and go down to this last verse, which is intriguing, as I hope we can see. So the text begins then, you see. When the time arrived, or came, for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relations heard that the Lord had lavished on her his faithful love, and they shared her joy. That's quite beautiful, isn't it, that they would put it that way? And they heard, you see, that Emigalian Kyrios, Thurlios, he magnified his mercy with her, and they rejoiced with her. And so it happened then. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. They were going to call him Zechariah, after his father. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "But no one in your family has that name," and made signs to his father. You wonder why they made signs. All Luke has told us is he's dumb. He must have been deaf as well. They made signs to his father to find out what he wanted him called. Father asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." At that moment, you see, they were all astonished that he said that. At that instant, his power of speech returned, and he spoke and praised God. He finally obeyed God. He got the picture after being unable to speak for 9 months. He got the picture. If I say his name is John, his name is John, and don't you fool around. And if I say your wife is going to conceive, though both of you are very old, believe me. Good lesson for us, right? To listen to the Lord and do what he says. It goes that way. They made signs to his father to find out what he wanted him called. The father asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." Nobody in the family is called John, but God said to call this boy John, and I obey. What happened? You see? At that instant, his power of speech returned, and he spoke and praised God. Now, all their neighbors were filled with awe And the whole affair was talked about through the hill country of Judea. This is down by Ein Kerem. In other words, here's Jerusalem. It's northeast, 12 miles max. It's a nice hike, actually. I've done it. Might be even be shorter than 12, whatever it is. It's a nice hike down to Ein Kerem from Jerusalem, about 10 or 12 miles. And all throughout this hill country, which is this whole northeast region Jerusalem and beyond, this whole thing was being talked about. And those who heard of it treasured it in their heart. That's the way Luke always says they really stopped to really think about this. And so they're asking, you see, what will this child turn out to be? Indeed, the hand of the Lord was with him. And so the whole region heard about this. The dad struck dumb. His wife knew. He must have written it out for her, but nobody else knew why this fellow is dumb all of a sudden. And then the moment he acquiesces and obeys and calls the child John, bingo, he can talk again. That's a good lesson, that good, profitable speech is born from obedience to God. And if we're not obeying God, we can blah, blah, blah all we want, even about pious things. It doesn't help anybody, including ourselves. I don't mean, you know, as somebody once said, look, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing badly. Just do it. Tell somebody about Jesus, well, I'm not a saint. Don't worry about that. It's worth doing, it's worth doing badly. That's a famous phrase, but it's a good one. And so, all those who heard of it treasured it in their heart. What will this child turn out to be, they wondered. And indeed, the hand of the Lord was with him. Now, that's verse 66. Then we have the starting in verse 67, Zechariah's hymn, Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has visited his people and brought redemption. And he goes through that whole beautiful song. There's only one more song. It's Simeon's song in the temple. And then the last line, intriguing line, the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the desert until the day of his manifestation to Israel. Oh, there's even a footnote in this Bible about that. Well, where was he? Was he 2? Was he 8? Was he 12? Was he 18? When did he go out to the desert? And where did he go in the desert? It's not a very hospitable place, you know. There's nothing to eat. There's animals around. It's quite likely that he was with the Qumran community. That's a very well-received, not unanimous, but well-received hypothesis. Because he learned there to expect the Messiah. He learned there about baptizing, because they had a whole bunch of lustrations. It makes a lot of sense. And he was formed spiritually and biblically by those who brought him up. So, but he didn't walk out into the desert the day after his circumcision. I mean, but he was in the desert until he appeared openly to Israel. And so he came out of, let's say, Qumran, the desert, a formed man. He knew the scriptures, he knew the expectations, and he knew from prophetic insight from early, early in life that he was called to announce the presence finally. After 1,000 years of waiting, finally, the Messiah has come. The Anointed One is here among us. And he realized it's my job to point him out and to prepare Israel to receive him. And that's what makes him so important And as I've already said, he, along with Mary, are the two resuming symbols of Israel, waiting for the Messiah, the preacher, and then the actual person. The people give birth in Mary to the Messiah. What a privilege. And what a preparation. What a holy, holy woman. Queen of heaven, queen of earth, humble, joyful, compassionate. If you don't know Mary, get to know her. It's not hard. Just go and introduce yourself. And little by little, she introduces herself. Because you've got to understand why these two are the embodiment of Israel preparing the world for the Messiah. The preacher and the mother. The mother, Israel. The motherhood of Israel summed up in Mary to give birth to the Messiah, HaMashiach, the Anointed One. And so, right now we're talking about the Baptist. In Luke, it's after this that Our Lady ponders all these things in her heart, you see? But this is the way this goes. Now, there are outgrowths, re-realizations of the coming of the Lord. They could be personal, they could be communal, they could be mundial, you know, the whole world. We have to get ready. There is certainly no doubt that we're in some crucial stage right now in the history of the world. Another confrontation between darkness and light. Go ask yourself, what is my role in this? First, be loyal to my family so that I can be, I'm loyal to God and bring that to my family. Be loyal to my friends in my loyalty to God. And then, what else are you supposed to do? Find out. This is the way you look. First, reconciliation. Is there anybody anywhere in my life with whom I am not reconciled? Get reconciled. Otherwise, you're crippled. You can't talk to anybody about God. You're angry. You know, St. Augustine says about it when at the Eucharist, when I hold up the host, I say, Corpus Christi, the body of Christ, and you say amen. Just before you receive, you just said amen to the body of Christ. So look around. This is the body of Christ. And in his homily, if I remember the words, si unus omittitur, Christus non recipitur. If one is omitted, you don't really receive Christ. You've eliminated him. You can't do that. But if you forgive, and if you let the Lord make you zealous, you can reveal Christ thousands of ways. Maybe preach in the grocery store, or the bank, or in the family. Or maybe just be united with Jesus in love. And give people an idea of who he really is. Amen.